It is Sunday morning, December the 8th, and we're in this wonderful Christmas season. Here on Sunday mornings, we're in a series of messages about the birth of Christ. And today the text is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, titled The Angelic Message to Joseph. It is Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Please open your Bibles and turn to that passage as we study. Now let's bow our hearts in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow our hearts before you because it is our desire to acknowledge you as the Lord God Almighty, to acknowledge that our Lord Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, and that the Holy Spirit is our present comforter. As we seek to proclaim the truth of this passage and to hear the Word of God this morning, we ask that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher and that He will bring to light the truth and burn it into our hearts and apply it to our lives. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now would you follow in your Bible as I read the text, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, the angel's message to Joseph. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ happened this way. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin will be with child and will bring forth a son. They will call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Let's approach this text with a question. What does this passage teach us about the birth of Christ? And first of all, it explains Mary's pregnancy to Joseph in verse 20, how this was going to be. And the angel comes to Joseph and says to him that she has conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son. Now you understand how important this message is to Joseph, and there is no other way he could have figured out how this could have happened unless he got a divine message, the message from the angel sent by God. It explains Mary's pregnancy to Joseph. And then it also announces to him that she will bring forth a son. Secondly, this passage reveals the identification of the son. The angel said, you shall call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Now, there is hardly a more important statement made in all of the scripture than what the angel told Joseph about the son who would be born to Mary. His name will be Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Here is the identification of the Savior. Now we ask two questions about this statement. Who are his people? Well, certainly not every human that has ever been born into the human race. Not all people are God's people. Not all people belong to Christ. Who are they? They are known in Scripture as God's elect, that from before the foundation of the world, God had chosen and predestined a people for himself, whom he would bring to faith in Christ. They are his people. They have been given to Christ. And Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me will come to me, and those who come to me I will never turn away." The angel said he will save his people. Who are they? God's elect, chosen people. Now, the next question is, how does he save them? Save them from what? He saves them from their sins. He saves them from the wrath of God. He saves them from eternal condemnation in hell forever. He rescues them. He delivers them. He saves them. Which brings up the theological discussion of the atonement. For whom did Christ die? He died on purpose to save the elect. If he died to save everybody, then everybody must be saved, or God's purpose is unfulfilled and God is defeated. No, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. And he did that through the crucifixion, through his death on the cross. He made an adequate sacrifice to pay the penalty of the sins of the elect forever. What an announcement! What a message! What does it teach us? First, it explains Mary's pregnancy to Joseph. Secondly, it reveals the identification of the Son. You will call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Thirdly, it reveals the response of Joseph in verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now, here is Joseph's caution, and understandably, he's a man in Nazareth, he is a carpenter by trade, and he is engaged to this girl, Mary. Now she is pregnant. What can he do? His thought is to do this privately and secretly in order to bring no shame or embarrassment upon Mary. And that's a commendable idea and thought. But then we notice in verse 24, his surrender. Verse 24, we read, "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Joseph humanly pondered what was taking place. And then he received the divine message, the message sent from God through the angel. And Joseph surrendered in cooperation to the Word of God. That's all he had. All he had was the word from the angel about Mary. And that speaks to us today. We have the Word of God. And our response is to surrender to the authority of God's Word. To surrender to the authority of the Bible. That's what Joseph did. This text also announced the birth that we read in verse 25. He did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son. Here is the birth of Christ. Just as it had been announced, here is the arrival of God in the flesh. He is here. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. His name, Savior, Jesus, it has occurred. All of history pointed to this event. And all of history now flows out of this event. This important day when God became man. And when Christ became Jesus, and he is here. Joseph surrendered to the providence of God. And this should be our response today to what is happening in our life. A surrender to accept the providence of God. And not to question him, not to defy him, not to turn to our own way, but in surrender to do as the Word of God tells us. Now, having given an exposition of the text, let's come to some conclusions about it. Why this passage of Scripture? Why was this event recorded in Scripture? So now we have the Holy Spirit, who is the superintendent and the supervisor and the inspirer of the words in the Bible, the Scripture. Why does he include this record? Well, it's vitally important for Mary. It's vitally important for Joseph. It is vitally important for us to have an affirmation of the virgin birth of Christ. To know that he had no human father and that his birth is a miracle brought about by divine power. By the coming of the Holy Spirit to Mary. We need to know that. Secondly, this passage of Scripture affirms that we have a sinless Savior with no human father. The sin nature of Adam is passed through the human race through Adam. Not Mary. Adam is the federal head of the race, and his sin nature passes down through him. And his sin nature comes from the father to to the children. And here we have one who has no human father, no sin nature. He is a sinless Savior, which makes him the only Savior. There is no other human who can possibly make this claim, or can it be said of him, he is without sin. Thirdly, we affirm that Christ Jesus is the Son of God, exactly as the angel said to Mary, he shall be called the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Fourthly, this passage is given to us to confirm the promise to David. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, God promised to David, or proclaimed to him, that your throne will be forever, and that one who comes through you will be the seed of the king forever. Now, this is confirmed in the genealogies in Matthew and in Luke. Joseph is said to be the son of David. So this passage brings to us a confident faith that believing in Jesus Christ, we are believing in the only Savior. There are not two Saviors. There are not three Saviors. There is only one Savior, and we worship Him and Him alone. In this morning's paper, there was quite an article about a meeting of three religious groups. And a great thing was made of this, that how wonderful that was, that the Jews and the Muslims and some Christians met together. And they just had a wonderful time together sharing. And, of course, the big push today is to everybody to come under one umbrella and we be very tolerant with each other. Now, at a human level, that's a good thing. We should treat each other with kindness and be gracious and respectful to other people. But I say to you this day that to meet together spiritually and pretend that we are worshiping the same God and that Jesus is one Savior and Muhammad is another and so on is something we cannot allow. We must not compromise, deny our faith in Christ as the only Savior. Muhammad is dead. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is dead. The Hindu gurus are dead. Buddha is dead. There's only one sinless living Savior who died and rose again, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. May God protect us from compromise through the push of our society to try to bring everyone together and to be totally tolerant so that we deny Christ. May the Lord use this passage to remind us of confident faith that we are believing in Jesus Christ. We are believing in the only Savior. Him we worship, and Him we serve, and we bow to no other. Heavenly Father, cause this passage of Scripture to burn in our hearts with truth. and bring us in humility and thanksgiving to say yes. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only Savior. Him we worship, and Him we serve. Amen.